Rock out of Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellgate submission. Oh, my God. What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, The Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE podcast on this Friday, October 22nd, as we are finally done with the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. I gotta say, in terms of pure wrestling, it was, as expected, some very good matches, some underwhelming matches. I won't go through the whole card with you. But one of the outcomes that just completely enraged me was the match between Goldberg and Bobby Lashley, as Goldberg gets a seemingly useless victory over Bobby Lashley, albeit a cool finish. I must say it was a very cool finish with the spear off the ramp. But talk about burying a talent after building him up for about a year and a half, eh? Like, I cannot think of a bigger fall from grace a wrestler's currently had as we're seeing with Bobby Lashley at this very moment, a guy who was built as an unstoppable force during the pandemic era and the Thunderdome era, as he held that United States Championship for, 8 months or so. And then shortly after losing that, he becomes the WWE champion, gets a WrestleMania victory over Drew McIntyre, and then just gets beat cleanly by Goldberg in this no-holds-barred anything-goes match. Even with help from the Hurt Business and kendo sticks and all the decks stacked against Goldberg. But, I mean, they're clearly building Goldberg up for not a whole lot. But as we know, Vince likes his part-timers. And that's a good segue into the program or the rivalry that we're going to be covering today. And that is The Rock versus Goldberg back in 2003. And I think it is important to go back and review Goldberg's initial run with WWE directly following WrestleMania 19. Because once upon a time, Goldberg was one of the best attractions in pro wrestling, going all the way back to WCW. His famous undefeated streak, which was, I think it reached almost 200 straight victories. And you could make the case that other than Sting, he was the biggest babyface for WCW. And in a lot of ways, was their most dominant wrestler and character in the history of that business. A guy that really elevated that product to kind of go head-to-head with Stone Cold Steve Austin over on Monday Night Raw. They were kind of like the counterparts of one another. But as we know, a lot has changed over the last 22, 23 years or so. But we're not going to focus on today. And what many people forget is that Goldberg did not come directly over to the WWE during the initial invasion angle. Like a lot of the WCW talent, like the NWO and Scott Steiner, it took him a while to finally come to terms with Vince McMahon and World Wrestling Entertainment to finally come over to the WWE. And by the time he had joined WWE, they were already just about 2 years removed from the initial birth of the invasion angle. They were 2 years out from Vince McMahon officially acquiring WCW. So a lot had gone on in the time between Goldberg being on professional wrestling on Monday Night Nitro and his initial appearance on Monday Night Raw in WWE. And what we saw over the course of those 2 years was kind of The Rock wrapping up his full-time run and, you know, I guess his prime years with WWE. As in 2002 is where you really started to see him take months upon months off of pro wrestling to go shoot movies like Walking Tall, like The Rundown, all of his early movies and projects when he moved over to Hollywood. And particularly in early 2003, we had him do the program with Hulk Hogan that culminated at No Way Out in February. And then following that pay-per-view, he showed up on Monday Night Raw and built to his final match against Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 19. And WrestleMania 19, in a lot of ways, I've said before, I'll say it again, is one of the most underrated and underappreciated WrestleManias in the history of the company. And I think that it is, at least for my, in my opinion, a surefire top five WrestleMania of all time. For me, it's 17, 19, 20, 31, and I'm still not quite sure on what the number fifth one would be. Maybe WrestleMania 15 as well for the initial Rock versus Austin. But following his victory over Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock was primed to move on to Hollywood, but not without one more program and one more rivalry before we finally would see The Rock step away from the WWE on a full-time basis. And the Monday Night Raw following WrestleMania 19, he comes out to give a Raw concert and kind of celebrate his victory over Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he was rudely interrupted by a face he had never seen before.
The jabroni beaten!
No!
Pie eaten! Best in the future, the present, the past, because I come to entertain you, you don't appreciate The Rock, you can all kiss the people's ass!
Look what these idiots have done! The Rock's gonna leave us!
Listen to this. The Rock will tell you this. The Rock will tell you this right now.
What?
Wait a minute.
Hold up. Oh, my God. Look.
It's him.
No, wait. Where is he?
That's Goldberg.
So just as The Rock was kind of telling the people that he was leaving for good, which in a lot of ways was true, he gets interrupted by Goldberg and speared into oblivion. And, you know, this kind of goes to show what kind of star power Goldberg had back then. It still arguably does have, just the difference is that no one wants to see him 18 years later. But people were really chomping at the bit to see Goldberg because he was red hot in WCW. And when WCW folded and was acquired by WWE, you kind of had his initial run in his prime stop dead in its tracks. And now, to be fair, I was never a huge WCW guy, so someone listening out there who is more privy to this could probably fill in the blanks for me a bit. But to my knowledge, he was still very much in his prime when WCW went the way of the dodo bird. So for him to show up on Monday Night Raw was just a huge deal. And as we talked about a lot in this period of the WWE, it was a time where Austin had left. He had retired the night before. The Rock was on his way out. and they needed a big main event level star, particularly a babyface. On SmackDown, they had Brock Lesnar. They had The Undertaker. But on Monday Night Raw, you know, they had tried Booker T. They tried Shawn Michaels. For a bit, they tried Kevin Nash all around this time. But Goldberg was finally that legitimate star, main event level caliber guy that could step in and theoretically fill the shoes of a babyface Rock, of Stone Cold Steve Austin, of these guys, and step up to Triple H. And eventually, he would. He would win the World Heavyweight Championship later on that year, but the problem is that it only lasted a month. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. And the thing about this rivalry is that this was like a dream type of rivalry, right? The Rock versus Goldberg, the top of the food chains of their respective companies during the Monday Night Wars. So to get this was pretty cool and almost surreal in a lot of ways. But because you had a heel Rock, he had to play off of that. And the entire kind of theme of this was the Rock kind of being a coward by this whole type of new Goldberg, this guy that he had never dealt with before. But him trying to act like he wasn't scared of Goldberg when that's clearly what was going on here was just so damn funny. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Rock as a heel is just one of the most comedic guys you'll ever see. And even as a babyface for that matter. Like, we reviewed him versus Jonathan Coachman last week. But The Rock versus Goldberg was just a special kind of, you know, version of The Rock that we had never seen before. Like a weaselly type of heel. And to give you a bit of an insight on how much he was scared of Goldberg, although he didn't want you to know it. Well, let's take a listen to a promo he cut on Goldberg where he was calling him out, but at the same time, he wasn't exactly to be the next one on Goldberg's list.
Easy, Rock. Hey! Now, considering what happened last week, the Rock Appreciation Night, all the Rock fans appreciating the Rock. They were. The Rock said all the Rock fans appreciating the Rock. Bill Goldberg, you want to come out? You want to ruin the Rock's night? Spear the Rock. Well, simply put, The Rock says this, Bill Goldberg, just bring it, bitch.
Oh, my gosh. Dog, has The Rock got a death wish? What do you mean you heard him? Rocky Skip. Uh-oh. I'll tell you what, Goldberg is going to bring it. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, the intense enigma known only as Goldberg has been called out. And he is on his way to the ring. Ray Rock didn't have to ask twice, did he? He's definitely coming out here. He got there. You don't want to ever call out Goldberg. I mean, the Rock is an intelligent man. And there he is. Goldberg, come on. Oh, the Rock, and the Rock is next. And then the Rock got speared almost out of his liver of pit. Now, The Rock doesn't look scared now, does he? He doesn't look afraid. Oh, my gosh, Darryl, this is going to explode. Oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be real good. The Rock and Goldberg, eye to eye, man to man. What you going to do, Rock? Going to hold them to their great one.
Rock ain't scared.
Bill Goldberg, The Rock, Goldberg, The Rock. One-on-one, you want The Rock. One-on-one at Backlash. One-on-one with the great one, the biggest match of all time. Well, simply put, in front of you, the millions and the millions, The Rock says this. Nah.
Nah? What the hell was that? Goldberg ain't gonna get The Rock at Backlash.
So just another thing is that how crazy is it that on a typical Monday Night Raw, you had The Rock versus Jeff Hardy in a match and then was interrupted by Goldberg. Like, that kind of speaks volumes to where the product was at the time. And just seeing The Rock kind of in a Ruthless Aggression type of set, having just a normal match on Monday Night Raw with a guy like Jeff Hardy, it makes you wonder, like, man, imagine he had been around right up until 2009 or something, never gone to Hollywood. But if you guys haven't checked out our show, What If, that was the first one we ever covered, Matt and I, is What If The Rock had never gone to Hollywood. But staying on track here, calls out Goldberg, challenges him, steps up to the plate. Goldberg makes it to the ring in under a minute to kind of go face-to-face with The Rock, and then The Rock skedaddles out of the ring. And, you know, this was kind of the theme of this entire program. And, I mean, it was a good way to get Goldberg over right away, is to go toe-to-toe with one of the biggest stars that WWE had had to offer over the last 5 or 6 years leading up to this point. Well, more 4 or 5, actually. And Goldberg coming in right away and just looking like a dominant beast, sparing The Rock his first time around. The second encounter they have, he chases The Rock out of the ring. It's just crazy to see this kind of visual and how this ultimately culminated at a Backlash pay-per-view. And you look at these two names, and especially the time it was taking place, as they were both 18 years younger in their primes. It's crazy that it didn't take place at a WrestleMania, or at least a SummerSlam, or a Survivor Series, or a Royal Rumble. It was at, you know, kind of a B-level pay-per-view, but obviously The Rock had his time constraints, and he was fast-tracking out the door at the time. But they made the most of it, as they used him to kind of really fast-track Goldberg into the main event. And for a lot of people, you would say, well, Goldberg didn't need any fast-tracking. He was already a legit main event-level guy by this time. But the fact of the matter is that there were some young fans or some hardcore loyal WWE fans who probably didn't know a whole lot about Goldberg. And I would probably be one of them. Like, I learned about Goldberg in the later years once he came to WWE, and I went back and kind of studied what he had done in Nitro and all that, and his appearance and role in the movie Ready to Rumble. But if you were a hardcore WWE fan, or even just a younger wrestling fan like I was in the early 2000s, you may have not have been completely privy as to what Goldberg had done and accomplished in the wrestling industry. So it was really smart booking by creative and by Vince McMahon to get Goldberg in the ring with a guy like The Rock right off the bat, to signal to everyone, like, no, this guy means business. He's a main event level badass, and he's going to be a dominant force in the Monday Night Raw landscape. And we saw, you know, Goldberg confront his man Goldberg, as The Rock brought out Goldberg. And we all know what Goldberg said. Goldberg finally, after long last, encountered the spinoff that was Goldberg that WWE used in during the Attitude Era to kind of mock WCW product. But after The Rock kind of really acting like a snake throughout all of this and being scared of Goldberg, seemingly, he finally got the upper hand on Goldberg at long last with the help of a steel chair.
The Rock, one shot,
And man, like, those were some unrelenting chair shots by The Rock on Goldberg as he just obliterates him a few times right over the dome with some chair shots, even to the back. And it was a really vicious side of The Rock that we hadn't been accustomed to during the Attitude Era, right? When he was typically a babyface. Now, you guys may go back to the Royal Rumble infamous match against Mick Foley, the I Quit match, where he repeatedly beat Mick Foley over the head with a steel chair when Foley was handcuffed. But I would argue that we had not seen this type of Rock for the 4 years between that Foley incident and when he kind of unloaded on Goldberg in the go-home Raw right before Backlash. So you had a very over-the-top heel Rock, although he was that guy for just about 2 months in his match against Hulk Hogan at No Way Out and then his build with Austin at WrestleMania. But that unrelenting chair shot beatdown he gave Goldberg was just something that kind of really put him over the top. But by the time the match came around and it main evented the show, a non-title match that main evented Backlash 2003, was something I don't think we realized we were witnessing. And what we are witnessing that we didn't realize at the time is that we are witnessing The Rock's final one-on-one match for 9 years. Yeah, The Rock would not have another one-on-one match until he faced John Cena at WrestleMania 28 in 2012. Now, along the way, he had some tag team matches, like when he tagged with Mick Foley against Evolution at the following year's WrestleMania, when he tagged with John Cena against R-Truth and The Miz at Survivor Series 2011. But this was the final one-on-one contest we would see The Rock have in a WWE ring for 9 years. And that is pretty damn crazy to think about how long it went before we saw The Rock have a one-on-one match with somebody. And I mean, we're quickly approaching that same milestone, right? Like, in this year's spring, it will be 9 years since The Rock last had a one-on-one match, not counting his match against Eric Rowan at WrestleMania 32. I do not count that as a match. But the last match at this point The Rock has had one-on-one, or any type of match, was against John Cena in 2013. And it will be 9 years since that pay-per-view, which is just absolutely mind-boggling to think about that 9 years have already gone by. But we are quickly approaching that same milestone, and by the sounds of it, we're going to surpass it. As allegedly, The Rock is not scheduled to face Roman Reigns until 2023's WrestleMania at WrestleMania 39. But his match against Goldberg was so poetic in a lot of ways because it was the end of his WWE run and the start of Goldberg's run. And when they finally got in the match, for their match, I wouldn't say it was a total squash match, but I have to say that it was a dominating win by Goldberg against The Rock, and one that really kind of set the tone for what we would be experiencing in terms of Goldberg's run on Monday Night Raw for the following 12 months.
Nails Goldberg, and this one is going to be over. Hook in the leg. 1-2. Oh, and Goldberg nearly lost his first match here in the WWE. How close was that? But I think both men are going above and beyond.
Rock's still got more to give. He's still got more punishment to dish out. He's still got more smack to lay down on Goldberg.
As does Goldberg. Never count this fantastic. Oh, no! Oh, no! And he fears the Rock again! Somehow he musters the energy.
To his feet, but has
no idea what is staring at him from the other side of the ring.
Don't turn around, Rock!
The Rock collecting himself. And okay, how about... No! And again! And again! Another spear from Goldberg! And Goldberg calling for it! Picks up the Great One! But can he get the Rock up? How much strength does Goldberg have left in that right shoulder? And he does!
Oh, my God!
Jackhammer slam! The jackhammer slam by Goldberg! And he does it!
Here is your winner, Goldberg!
I don't believe my eyes!
And I don't know if you guys picked up on that. Maybe my ears were deceiving me a bit, but I was pretty sure I was hearing some Goldberg sucks chants along the way. And but yeah, he crushes the Rock with two hellacious spears, and then hits the jackhammer for the 1-2-3, and the Rock did mount some offense. He almost got the pinfall with a people's elbow right before this, but all in all, this was a dominating victory for Goldberg, and it was rare that we would see the Rock lose clean in one-on-one fashion at this time. But nonetheless, we had seen it actually just 8 months prior against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. So, as I mentioned before, this was The Rock's final one-on-one match for the following 9 years, and his final match as a full-time in-ring competitor for the WWE. We would never see The Rock go back on a full-time run. The closest we got to see to that was in the winter of 2013 when he won the championship, but even at that, he wasn't wrestling on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. He would just show up for the pay-per-views, and he would have in-ring promos on Raw and SmackDown. But he has since to have a match on Monday Night Raw since this time in 2003. But if we weren't sure that The Rock was going to walk away from the company just by kind of reading the tea leaves, if you were in person at this pay-per-view at Backlash 2003, it was downright confirmed when The Rock pretty much admitted that he was going away, breaking character to the fans following the pay-per-view.
Just in case, if anybody's concerned, The Rock is okay. Well, honestly, you guys don't know this, but here tonight in Wooster, The Rock knows how to say Woosterville. Tonight, we set an all-time record, so congratulations to all you guys. Give yourselves a round of applause. The record is the, don't chant Rock's name yet. Let me tell you what the record is. Hold on. The record is this. Oh, my God, I swear to God, after 6 years of being here in the WWE, I ain't never had my ass whooped so fast in my life. Look, now don't give The Rock the finger. There's a big fat bald dude here giving The Rock the finger. Get a shot of him. Get a shot of him. Damn, man. I mean, you look like, hey, you know what? Hey, you give The Rock the finger, The Rock gets more pie in one night than you get in a lifetime, baby! Hold on, I appreciate that. Before The Rock leaves, a lot of you know, tonight I gotta go away for a little while. No, I gotta go, but hey, I'm not gonna turn this. All right, no sympathy. I just want to say this. All right, this is some special shit you're getting. I just want to say this. Hey, after tonight, I just want to, after 6 years, I tell a rooster, thank you.
So The Rock essentially admits to the crowd and anyone who found out about this video or watched this video at the time that he was retiring. After 6 years, that was it. And he says, I'm going to have to go away for a while. And by a while, he only meant, 8 years? But no, all in all, it was just kind of crazy for him to pretty much admit that he was on his way out of WWE. And he would show up periodically on and off for, I would say, 18 months or so. And then he finally walked away in August of 2004. And we didn't see him again in a WWE ring until Valentine's Day in 2011. And it was just historic on a lot of levels. And obviously in classic Rock fashion, he had some fun with the crowd as well. The guy giving him the figure in the front row. But, I mean, it was historic because we'll look at it from the Rock's point of view. This was the last rivalry he had until he faced John Cena all those years later. And for Goldberg, it really catapulted his career, albeit his initial run was only one year long. But it catapulted him right into the main event, defeating arguably the biggest star the company had seen during the Attitude Era. But I think most people would say he was the second biggest star right behind Stone Cold Steve Austin. But for The Rock to put over Goldberg in his final match as a full-time competitor for the company was a big win for Bill Goldberg and instantly establishing him at the top of the food chain for the WWE, specifically on Monday Night Raw. So it was a pretty historic rivalry, one that probably was best served for a bigger stage than Backlash, a WrestleMania, a SummerSlam, something like that. But obviously, given the situation of The Rock and them trying to get Goldberg to the top of the food chain right out of the gate, they had some time constraints and they had to do it right away. But it was good for what it was, and I think it did what it had to do for both competitors. But anyway, guys, that's all I got for you tonight. I hope you enjoyed The Rock versus Goldberg. As always, you can find me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can find Matt on Twitter at Wrestling_audio, or you can email him at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, guys, stay safe out there, and I will talk to you next week.